Thank you. And we are studying these days the book of Ephesians. We have finished the book of Romans, where we've been dealing with the marvelous revelation of the grace of God. Now we come to Ephesians, where we have the revelation of the church, the body of Christ. And we were discussing yesterday this marvelous book of how we have the manifestation of the purpose of a sovereign God. What God has done in the first three chapters. What we are to do in the next three chapters. We are to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And the last part of chapter 6, we have our warfare. We see who our enemies are, the armor which we can put on, and the weapons which we can use, and the resources which are at our command. And we start this morning with our position in Christ, the first three chapters. And for chapter 1, I have labeled this redemption. Chapter 1, redemption. Just for the sake of making it simple. In chapter 1, redemption. In chapter 2, reconciliation. In chapter 3, revelation. Now, in the first verses, chapters 1, verse 3 to 6, we're dealing with this question of redemption. And here we have the work of the Father in our redemption. Verses 3 to 6. By the way, it's rather remarkable that from verse 3 down through verse 14, we have just one complete sentence. One thing runs into the next. And you'll notice as you read verses 3 to 6, there are four great things that God the Father does for us in our redemption. The first one is in verse 3. Now read it with me, will you please? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all or every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now remember, I said the other morning that the book of Ephesians is comparable to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. That is, Joshua brought the people of Israel into the land of Canaan. They had crossed the river Jordan. God said to him that every foot of ground they put their foot on was theirs. Occupation was by possession. Now here we have in this verse, God hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Everything, every spiritual blessing that God has for his people is yours. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Not that he's going to do it, but he has blessed us. All that he is and all that he has are ours. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 and 23, the last two or three verses of the passage, where Paul says, all things are yours. All things are yours. Why? Because you belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. And just as God said to Joshua, arise, be of good courage, walk in and possess your possessions. It's all yours. I've given it to you. Now go and experience it. So we have here, he has blessed us. Oh, listen, friends, we are rich. And too many of us Christians are living like paupers. All that I need in my life I find in Christ. He hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. What more could God do for us? You know, every once in a while someone comes to me and says they want me, of course, to have certain experiences. And by the way, I'm not opposed to experiences. Thank God for every real experience you have with God. We don't have enough of it. But on the other hand, there's a danger of trying to get somebody else to have the same experience that you have. And my friend, it doesn't work out. I have dealt with hundreds of people who've been deluded and disillusioned on this question. Somebody has had a great experience with God. And because they've been so blessed and are so happy, they want everybody else to have the same experience. And so people try to get the same experience, and some don't. Most of them don't. and they get discouraged. It's detrimental to faith. Listen, no Christian has any more than you have in Christ. He hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Somebody asked me, told me that one time. A preacher said, "Mr. Mitchell, you know that God has more for you?" Oh, I said, "I don't think so. I have everything I need in Christ." "Do you believe I'm a Christian?" He said, "Yes." "Do you believe I have Christ?" "Yes." "Then, sir, can you add to Christ?" "I have all things in Christ. I have not experienced everything that I have in Christ. Indeed, I would say nobody on the face of the earth has yet experienced everything they have in Christ. It's going to take eternity for us to experience all the blessings that we have in Christ. But that doesn't alter the fact that he hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing." It did not say he's going to bless us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. It's a wonderful thing. Go in and possess your possessions. Walk with the Savior. Don't walk like a spiritual pauper. You're rich. Draw on your bank account in heaven. Draw on your resources. He hath blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Where do we live? In Christ. Where do we walk? In the heavenlies. And I tell you, my friend, it's a wonderful thing to know that he hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. I wish in some way I could put this into words the way I feel about it. Because I know there are hundreds of Christians would like to have what the other fellow had. The danger, of course, is that these people who claim to have more than you have are not telling the truth. And as a rule, they enlarge on the experience that they've had. After they've talked about it 3 or 4 times, it doesn't sound so glamorous, so they have to add to it and enlarge upon it. And first thing you know, they're talking beyond their experience. And my friend, if you've had an experience with God, don't lord it over your brother. That's nothing else but pride, spiritual pride, if I can use the word spiritual. Fleshly pride. Thank God for the blessings you've had. And it may be God has more blessing for you, my friend, than he had. You have every blessing. And as you walk with God in his wonderful sovereign way, he will give to you the experiences that he thinks that you should have. And you'll be satisfied with what he's given you. But remember, he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, that's the first one. Now, the second one about the Father is in verse 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him." I'm going to stop right there. That "in love" I'm going to leave until the next verse. He hath chosen us before the foundation of the world to be holy. Chosen to be holy and without blame. You know, time would fail me to go into the book of Acts chapter 15, verse 18, or the 139th Psalm. I tell you, when you get that 139th Psalm, when God knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb and called me by his grace, says Paul in Galatians chapter 1. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Do you realize that the Lord of glory saw you before there ever was a world? That back in the very council chamber of God, he saw you and he loved you and he made a plan to redeem you and fit you for his presence? My friend, will you not just sit down with me for a moment and meditate upon that? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before there ever was a human race, before there ever was a world, way back someplace in eternity, in the council chamber of the living God, he saw you, and he chose you to be holy. It does not say he chose you to be saved. Don't read in there and put words in there that are not there. He chose you, he chose every believer to be holy. When? Before the foundation of the world. That's a great statement, isn't it? Chosen before the foundation of the world. In John, you remember in John's Gospel, in chapter 17, 24, Jesus said, Father, I will that all those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us to be holy. I want you to think about that today. He hath blessed you with every spiritual blessing, and then in his own wise purpose and counsel, he chose you to be holy. If I may change the wording, he chose you to stand before him, not only holy, but without blame. He chose you to stand before him so holy and so without blame that no one can produce any evidence before God that you ever were a sinner. Way back in eternity, he had you on his heart. He had you on his heart. My, what an amazing thing. No wonder Peter could talk about it in the first chapter of Peter. Our Lord was a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for us who believe in him, that our faith, our hope might be in God. If you think about this today, and if God had you on his heart before the foundation of the world, he has you on his heart today. I'm talking to you Christians. He's redeemed you, brought you to himself, blessed you with every spiritual blessing. And he chose you, he put his hand on you and determined that you would stand in his presence in the ages to come, looking just like his son, Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the salvation we have in Christ. My friend, this is amazing, is it not? Can I leave you with that today? And will you think about it, meditate upon it, and thank the Lord for it, and believe it, and the Lord bless you.